lost the places where you used to learn.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Dave Murray just did the summer forecast at 3:30. I'm sure it's up on his Facebook and ours, right, Rach?
Yeah, I will share that to our Facebook as soon as I see Dave Murray post it.
Cool, cool. Matt Pauly joins us. Hello, Matt, are you at the ballpark?
I am at the ballpark.
That's so cool. So cool. I was listening to Joe Pott with you last night, Wheels, and talking about, oh, Fred Bird just walked by, and I'm just like, this is so friggin' cool.
There are cool, like, I have FaceTimed my daughter with Fred Bird next to me. Like, how many people get to do that? That's, you know, that's pretty cool. Friday night, Klaibs was on play-by-play, so I got to do the star of the game interview, being on the field after that walk-off, like the energy that you feel. There are just moments like those, whether it's FaceTiming with Fred Bird or being on the field after a walk-off. Those are the moments where you're like, man, this is not many people get to experience some of these things that I'm experiencing.
So I don't want to just like keep beating a dead horse with the tarps off thing, but I don't think we've really talked to you much about it. Just what trying to go.
Did you hear, but before you asked the question, did you hear the news today?
No, I did not.
Okay, so let's start, not to like control your show but here's the news. The Cardinals announced about 2 hours ago that starting tonight, the upper right field bleachers at Busch Stadium are going to become a dedicated high-energy fan section inspired by the Tarps Off atmosphere. Any fan in the ballpark, no matter where your seat location is, you're able to come and take part in that. So I would assume they're basically like not selling seats in there. I don't know how it's going to work, but it's not going to be, an usher's not going to tell you that that's not your seat. Anybody can go up and take part in this in the craziness in right field starting tonight.
What do you guys think? Do you think this has legs for the rest of the season?
We'll see. I mean,
I hope so.
Yeah, it's picked up around other parts of baseball, too. So, I mean, if you get into the summer months, and we're getting, I mean, schools are ending here soon, right? I mean, the school year is ending for most people within the next few weeks. I mean, if you get into the time of year where you got a lot of high school and college kids out there that are joining in, and they're maybe there with their families, and their families will stay in their seats, but the kids will go run out there and
how
go.
How much fun would that
be? What I'm saying. I think that can be a thing.
Yeah.
I think that can be a thing, especially if the teams. Look, it's going to probably crap out a little bit if the team stinks for a while, but right now they've shown no sign of that.
Yeah. I wonder, does it have to, how organized does it have to be? Because not to compare it to soccer, but to compare it to soccer, like there's always going to be the supporter sections at soccer games, no matter how good or bad the team is. But as we've seen with City, I mean, there's all these supporter groups, and it's very organized. There's not really time to like organize this. The kids from Texas aren't here anymore, so I hope that there are people that can be involved in this that can help make sure that it does continue to be a thing and lead the way. And by the way, for some, it's going to be taking you out of your comfort zone when you go up there and act that way, and that's totally fine.
Yeah. You know, when Nick and I went to Wrigley Field about this time last year, because it was the day of the tornado, and I came back and I said, I'm going to tell you something. Wrigley Field is special. We all know that. But it is a more fun atmosphere than Busch. And a lot of people got mad at me. And they're like, well, it's just because it's your first time there. Like, or it's just this. And I don't know what amalgam of you guys it was this week talking about it. But someone was basically saying what I think is the truth. And that is, yes, St. Louis is baseball heaven. I accept that. Yes, we are tradition and we are this. But someone made the point, I think it was Bernie, like, but it shouldn't be a museum.
No, that was Bernie. That was Bernie's phrase. And look, that was fine for what it was, right? It fit the personality of those previous teams. When you had Prime Age Yachty and you had Waino and Carpenter and Albert, the team was good. The personality was serious, right? The Tony La Russa Cardinals team was a very serious team. In fact, other teams used to kind of pick at them for being too serious and for being the kind of the police of the way the game is played and all that kind of stuff. But that's okay, because it was the personality of those players, of the coaching staff and the manager. And it's okay to be this now, too. You don't have to be one or the other. You can be whichever one fits the group you have.
And it says a lot about how much this is being embraced. You know, Oliver Marmol does his Tuesdays with us every week, but yesterday, in addition to being on with us, he was on with another radio station in town. He went and did a podcast. He is very intentionally trying to talk to everybody to push this. So what that tells you is that's a guy that understands the impact of this and how it helps the team. So go, like, just everybody embrace this for what it is right now. And if it organically goes away as it organically came into existence, then we live with that. But right now, it's just a lot of fun. And I think Kevin's totally right when it just, the way the team has embraced it, and, you know, they've kind of stolen the Yankees thing a little bit, where the, you know, the call of the players' names and getting
right.
Acknowledged, and that's fun. That's a really fun thing, and the players enjoy that. And I don't, you know, Ollie talked about, I think it was on a Gas House Gang at one point, about some players actually said how much it was more fun sometimes to go play at other places other than St. Louis. Well, nobody's saying that right now because everybody is embracing what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And again, I think it's important, you know, Matt, you and I have talked about it. In fact, the three of us, you and I and Bernie on Monday, talked about it. The team being good is also a part of this, right? If the team is three games under 500, I don't think any of this happens. Because you can have the same energy and the same, like, the same energy from the players and the same, you know, kind of, we're never going to give up. We're down in the eighth inning. We're not done yet. Like, all that's real, but you also have to be good to a degree. And the fact that you're up near, you know, in the vicinity of first place and you're way over 500 absolutely plays into the enthusiasm, probably not of the Stephen F. Austin guys, because they're not necessarily Cardinals fans. They were just there to have a good time, and they did. But that's, you know, everybody else still needs to have, you need to have something good to center around that's not just cheers and all that.
Yeah, I guess so. And but again, if it just becomes a party and everybody's having fun and that's just part of the Cardinal baseball experience, and I don't think it's there right now. It helps that they're winning. You would love for this to just become part of what Cardinals baseball is.
Yes.
Talk a little X's and O's. I like saying that. I texted Wheeler and Bernie last night during the show, and I said, am I the only one that thinks that Alec Burleson is a very good first baseman? I think he's a very good first baseman.
I think he is too. And Kevin, I told you he was going to be, and you kind of poo-pooed it a little bit.
No, I did, because in the past, I mean, look, he's still below average.
Is he?
Yes, based on metrics. That doesn't mean that's 100% true, because the metrics have blind spots. They don't all nail everything. But keeping in mind that he's not been a full-time first baseman until now, that's okay. He is wildly improved. I had some issues last year. His footwork was a little awkward sometimes. You know, his range is not the greatest, but he's gotten better at everything. I mean, and he's got a great arm, which is weird that you don't see it in some of the ratings, because at first base you don't tend to have very many throws where you need to let it rip, because he does have a good arm. He was a pitcher as an amateur and even in college, right, Matt? He was a two-way player in college for at least some of his time. But you know, the improvement is significant. He's not as good there now as Wilson Contreras was last year. But I also think Contreras was moving from a more difficult position to first, where Burleson is moving from a less difficult position, left field, to first base. But his improvement has been notable to me.
The play he made last night where JoJo was late covering and he just went and sprinted as fast as he could to get over there and just dove. Like, there were so many things. That play, to me, in many ways represents the 2026 Cardinals, because a lot of the reasons so many people are loving on this team is because you can tell how much they care, and you could see in Burleson's face after he makes that play, and he just took a cleat to the face, but the out is recorded,
right.
And you know, he picked up his teammate who made a mistake in the moment, and who knows what goes down in that inning if that out is not recorded. Like, there's just so many like tentacles to that moment, and I loved it so much, and it just so represents the 2026 Cardinals.
So we talked about Burley. Let's talk about Herrera. I was the naysayer on Herrera playing catcher, and mostly from stuff I'd heard you guys say. Let's be honest. I'm not creating a lot of this out of, you know, whole cloth. But at some point, Kev, it was like, God, catchers in general get hurt a lot, and Herrera seems to get hurt a lot.
Yeah, that's the number one concern. Yeah,
but I mean, I'm closing my eyes every now and then, but so far so good. Not so much.
I mean,
he can't throw anybody out, but he's doing most of the other stuff much better than he had done previously.
Yeah. Again, I'm mixed. I think what he's doing is totally fine for a backup catcher, right? It's he's doing a good job. He, you know, the most important thing that he's improved on, and we can't measure this. This can only be learned by listening to pitchers and to Ollie and to, you know, Herrera himself talk about it. Is the biggest improvement that I'm hearing them talk about is his game calling. And he does a great job with the ABS challenges. He does a really good job with that, which isn't a shock because he has a good eye at the plate as a hitter, too. So the combination, those two things work pretty well. His framing rate's below average. His blocking is about average. His throwing's terrible. It's awful. Like,
so the surgery didn't improve it?
No. And I don't blame that. You know, I mean, like, maybe next year, having had the surgery, he'll have time to build up the arm strength and all of that. But it's not even just arm strength. It's arm strength and accuracy. Our accuracy is still a problem. But when you're talking about somebody who's only going to catch two times a week, it's okay. You can manage that. And he's working with pitchers. And we talked about this. I talked about this with Derek Gould on the best podcast in baseball yesterday. You also have pitchers. The pitchers that he works with are good at being quick to home plate, at changing their times. They have good pickoff moves to first. So all of those things will limit teams taking opportunities to run against Herrera. If teams start running more against him and succeeding, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to manage it. But again, the whole point of this year is to see if it can stick, because they have a lot of decisions to make on catchers in the next couple of years.
Yeah,
Pages, Herrera, Bernal, Crooks, and eventually Raniel Rodriguez, and who knows what that means for any of those guys, pitching position changes, whatever. So I'm down with him catching, but I wouldn't, other than the game calling, which I can't measure, I wouldn't say that everything else is that great. I would say that it's at best average, in a lot of places below average.
He doesn't jump off the field, though, as being terrible.
No, he's not an embarrassment, right?
Yeah. So that's a major improvement. Now, the Cardinals have some choices to make. The offense has been struggling a little bit, yesterday notwithstanding, where they hit four home runs, including Herrera's walk-off. Yep. But if you want a little bit more offense, I have to think at times of thinking, do you put Herrera behind the plate more than twice a week in order to, you know, do you try to catch the hot streak of a Joel Pozo right now? But even though he's probably not going to be that for long term, as we saw last year. I mean, there's just some other things. Páez is such a he struggles so much offensively. If this team is struggling from a team-wide perspective offensively, you might need to do something with Herrera being behind the plate a little bit more.
All right, you guys are listening to the Cardinal Report, sponsored by Rawlings. Visit the Rawlings Experience at Westport. Matt, have a great night.
Thanks.
Swallowed down the Twinkie pipe. So, Representative Massey lost last night. Cassidy lost the other night. The Senate is supporting Senator Cornyn, and Trump is going against him. And in the Massey election, AIPAC, the American Jewish PAC, spent $9 million going against him. And other Trump-backing super PAC spent $7 million, which is legal, but I don't think we're ever going to have anything like the kind of government that at least the people in this room want until we get big money and dark money out of elections. But is that just spitting in the wind?
Yeah.
I do want to make an important clarification. Okay. AIPAC is the American-Israeli PAC. It is not American Jews. It's American. It's Israeli.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that
in other words, supporting the government versus the belief system?
Correct.
Right. Well, it's not all Jews support Israel. You know what I mean? That's I think where the important distinction is being drawn. More and more so as, you know, we follow Israel into more and more wars in the Middle East, things like that. I think it's more and more important to separate the difference between Israel and the Jewish people.
It will never happen because this is how people with power.
They'll never let it happen.
People with power will then lose power.
Yes.
We should have publicly funded elections, the same amount of campaign money for every single candidate. It would make the cost of elections cheaper. We can sit here and say, well, we don't want taxpayers. Look, you're paying for it. You are paying for all of those donations that come from giant corporate lobbyists because they factor that into the cost of the products that you buy. So if you didn't have to, if they didn't have to cover that, not saying they wouldn't raise prices or you don't know how that would go, but it's not going, it's just like the healthcare thing. People say it's too expensive. Well, it will be less expensive if it's coming from one place than done through the private for-profit industry, right? But we know it's not going to happen because the people that hold power, both in the Senate and the lobbyists, the big groups that use money, they'll never allow it to happen. They control those people who they give money to. And those people will lose their own power if they have to face real challenges from legitimate opponents. And it's not just about who can raise the most money. Too many races are entirely about who can raise the most money.
Yeah, but I am not... Despite what some people say, I'm neither a socialist or a communist, but it does seem to me that democracy may be a little too precious to us in that it needs some changes. We have bastardized democracy, in my opinion, and in many ways made it something very whorish.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything wrong. It's not a religion. There's no holy book. There's nothing wrong with saying we've gone off the goofy crap meter here and we need to bring it back and let's do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, but I would also, and you're not saying this, Dave, but others will misinterpret it this way. Having publicly financed elections is not socialism or communism.
No, I'm down with it.
Yeah, the idea there is competition. Competition. I'm a sports guy. I want you to compete for your job. I don't want you to get the job because you've got a famous last name or because you've got the most money yourself or the most money behind you.
Yeah.
You want more quality people to run? Make it so that all they have to do is the same as everyone else and then get in there and just do the job instead of kissing ass with all the people that pay the bills.